to God for giving us the opportunity and strength to be here to praise songs and through prayers. This morning we will continue our meditation on the book of Mark and allow me to first read for us the text for this morning, taken from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Mark verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they have done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by 100 and by 50s. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Well, in the recent week, we must have spoken to people who were trying to be extra cautious or feeling rather anxious or both because of the virus situation, haven't we? Many are worried and even panicky about how things might get worse in the coming few weeks. And then for this week, we start to hear about the cancellations of concerts, of big events, and even wedding banquets as organizers also start to get wary about potential spread of the virus. And to the point that even our Prime Minister last night had to tell us how to do our grocery shopping. Well, if you tune the news, we saw that. Now, of course, not everybody would feel the same way. I believe some might actually feel happier because for this period of time, they don't have to report to work, they don't have to report to school. But for the greater majority, I think the uncertainty only bring about fear and anxiety. And Christians are not spared. So, may I ask, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind readily as I was reading the passage just now on the feeding of the 5,000 people? A story that talks about food being passed around by 5,000 pairs of hands. Does it sound hygienic? Do we have a concern when we read this story? And this miracle story that we used to love so much, under today's situation, does it still go down so well for us? Well, the bread and the fish, don't forget, were after all handed out by Jesus himself. So even we really did thought of the hygiene question, I think we as people of faith will quickly dismiss what we think as being silly, because it's from Jesus and we're people of faith. Then what does this passage have to say to Singaporeans today, here, in this tense environment? Now, before I answer this question, which I'll answer towards the end of my sharing, I think we need to first of all let the story that we are reading this morning make good sense. And so I want to begin by dealing with a few points of the story that readers have been raising questions. What I will try to do here is to explain to us how 5 loaves and 2 fish could turn into food that's enough for 5,000 people to eat, and then they were satisfied, and there were even leftover pieces. Miracles are miracles, and it defies explanations, period. But there are other parts of this story that do raise questions, and of which we can say something. Now, Mark said that Jesus had compassion on them when he saw the crowd, a crowd of 5,000 people. A crowd of 5,000 people that was able to assemble within the time frame of a short boat ride. Did we realize that? Did we notice that? Jesus take a boat, short time, and 5,000 people already standing there. And this was a short boat ride just to find a place to rest. It wasn't a long boat ride. So it's interesting. How did 5,000 people get assembled within that short time? And not only that, Mark tells us that they even arrived before Jesus got there. Not impossible, but the question is, how did they manage to get there in such a short time? And then, how did they even know in the first place where to go to wait for Jesus? Now, the answer to the second questions will be shorter, so we will deal with that in a moment's time. But the answer to both questions has to do with Jesus has compassion on them. And also the phrase that they were like sheep without a shepherd. The second question, I was saying that easier, so we will start with that first. Now, the way that this verse reads, verse 34, it seems to give us the impression that when the ship that Jesus was on has came to the shore, and then when he has got off the ship, and when he has got onto the land, and when he has started to walk towards the inland, he suddenly saw a crowd. A little like what we do with a surprise party, right? You walk in, open the door, you walk into the room, and suddenly everybody shouts, "Surprise!" Hey, but come on, think about it. How are we going to ask 5,000 men that all go, "Shh," and even the "shh" cannot be heard? 5,000 "shh" is quite loud. How do we get 5,000 men to keep silent and wait until Jesus comes and then shout their surprise? No, not quite possible. I think what might be possible was this, that it was Jesus who has compassion on them, who while he was on the boat, he started to see a crowd that was at the shore. And then he decided to forego the rest that he has planned for his disciples. And he started to steer the boat towards the shore where the crowd was gathered. Because to him, they were like sheep without a shepherd. I think that's more possible. Of course, how did they know where the ship was going? By the general direction, they went. But it's Jesus who saw and Jesus who went to them. The Lord who has compassion. Now, the first question, a lot longer explanation needed, I think. How come I can't go? Yeah. The first question would be, how did 5,000 men manage to assemble in such a short time? Now, the key to the answer is, once again, the phrase, they were like sheep without shepherd. Now, when I try to Google sheep without shepherd, I get pictures like this. You know, pictures that suggest to me that things were getting unruly, unorderly, that there are impending dangers, and also the very Christian version that Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, I want to say that it's not wrong for Christian to depict, or rather to portray, this verse in this manner. But none of this gives us a complete picture of what Mark is trying to tell us here. The phrase, sheep without a shepherd, it's not a new description that the gospel writer has came up with. Similar phrases we will find in quite a few places in the Old Testament. The first time that this phrase appears is in Numbers 27. It was a time where the old leader Moses said, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be a sheep that have no shepherd." Now Moses said this word because he was not allowed to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And that was because he had sinned against God. Now, something happened at this place called Meribah. It was a place that has no water. At that place, God asked Moses to speak to the rock to yield, to give out the water. But instead, Moses did this. He went and struck the rock twice. And what happened? Water came out. People drank. People were happy. Animals drank. Animals were okay. But then the Bible quickly tells us that by doing this, Moses has sinned against God by not trusting what God asked him to do. That instead of speaking to the rock, he actually struck the rock. And then for him, not trusting God in this manner, Moses was denied his leadership position. And then Joshua became the shepherd in his place to lead the people into the promised land. Now, we all know what entering into the promised land involves. You don't buy a ticket, right, to get into the promised land. No such thing. You don't request, knock, 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 request the city to open the gate, let me come in. No such thing. What do they have to do? They have to go to war with the original the initial inhabitants of that land in order to go into the promised land. And so when we understand like sheep without a shepherd with such a background, I think we can now answer the question that how did the 5,000 men manage to assemble on the shore in such a short time? Israel at that point of time was under the Roman rule. And then the religious authority who was supposed to be their leader and protect them was siding more than half the time with the Romans. And so Israel were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus came onto the scene. And he has done impressive things. And he has healed many of sickness. He has cast out demons, even legions. To this sheep without a shepherd, Jesus looked like a powerful prophet, one who can lead them into conquest just like Joshua, the shepherd that has led his people into the promised land in time past. And so they wanted to make Jesus into that shepherd warrior, or rather the warrior shepherd, to lead them in the revolution. And so in their eagerness to make Jesus this shepherd, their general, in their eagerness, they rush overland and assemble at where Jesus seems to be heading towards. I think that's the reason why 5,000 people can be there in such a short time. Eagerness. And then they think, this guy can lead us. And they use a Singapore slang, they chiong. And so it was probably for this reason that Mark also tells us that those who ate the loaves were 5,000, what? 5,000? Men. Men, no women. It was 5,000 men ready to start the revolution as freedom fighters. And John helps us to confirm that this was indeed the case. Because right after he tells his feeding of the 5,000 miracle, after he shared this miracle, straight away he has this to say. He says that perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountains by himself. But then, as the saying goes, man proposes, but God disposes. And Jesus, this name is the Greek version of the name Joshua. And let's not forget that this name wasn't given by his parents. It was given by the angel when the angel visited Joseph. Jesus is indeed Joshua, the one that will lead his people into conquest, Only that the kind of future that he will lead the people into is not that which is dreamt by the people who were on the shore. Jesus overcome darkness by resurrecting from the dead and lead his people into a future and a new era, a future that's without end, not a future without Romans. Jesus is also the son of David. And like King David, who is a shepherd, he is also a shepherd like that. And this image of this shepherd will be more familiar to us as Christians. In Psalm 78, it says that he, which is God, God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. And so, like King David, Jesus is also the shepherd that care. Problem. Problem is that on the shore that day, the disciples couldn't see that Jesus was like Joshua, the warrior shepherd, that Jesus was like David, the caring shepherd. And that's why when Jesus asked them to give the people something to eat, they replied Jesus with a, "Shall we?" We know that. The full sentence or the question goes this way. He says, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Now, based on some calculations, 200 denarii is what an average person will get after working for 8 months. And so, this reply to Jesus is more, in a more candid way, would be this, that shall we spend more than 8 months of our pay to buy bread for this group of strangers? Now, I think the disciples are sounding here unwilling and fearful. And the truth is, I don't think we will blame them, because if we are put in the same situation, do you think that we will say anything different? I believe we will say something that's exactly the same, because what Jesus is suggesting here is impractical, if not impossible. But the honest and logical response to Jesus, you only zero effect. Jesus continued by saying, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And what happened next was that the need of 5,000 men was all taken care of, and they were satisfied. Friends, we hear the disciples here asking a negative question, beginning with a, "Shall we?" The reason for them asking this question seems to be because that the task is insurmountable, or that they were unwilling to empty their purse for a group of strangers. But there's a deeper reason, actually. And Mark gives us this deeper reason a few verses down the road. The reason is this: that they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Don't get Mark wrong. They weren't hardened against strangers. They were actually hardened against God. So hardened that they couldn't see who Jesus is, and what is God doing through Jesus. That God is doing something new through Jesus. Friend, can I say this? Whatever is commented here about the disciple is not true for you and for me. We are people whose hearts are not hardened because we have been helped by the Holy Spirit. He has softened our hearts so that we can see what God is doing. And we can acknowledge that God is doing something good among us. We are able to see and to affirm that Jesus is Lord. If you can do that, your heart is not hardened. We are able to affirm that God is with us through Jesus. If you can do that, your heart is not hardened, because the Holy Spirit has helped us. We are able to echo Jesus in saying that, "Not mine, but your will be done." And if this is true for us, then allow me to say that today, Jesus is also bidding us to go and see. Go and see what we have that we can give to Him, that He may use that which we can give to bless others. Let me jump a little bit here. The focus of our church for this and for next year is on evangelism. And the new theme is actually this, 传神. Now we see an extra punctuation there. That's not a typo. It is the way that we choose to express that there are actually surprising aspects about this God that we are to proclaim. And how is 传神 to be expressed in English? This one I have to say sorry. We don't have it in English yet. Basically because this Chinese expression 传神 actually carries multiple shades of meaning that is so hard to be captured or encapsulate by one English expression. And so I'm also by way here asking that if we have suggestion on how to probably translate 传神, then please come and let us know. But the church intention is very clear. It's that our focus for this and next year is to share the gospel. And in doing this, the church is now embarking on 幸福小组. And for this year, each zone will be conducting two rounds of 幸福小组, or two groups. What 幸福小组 will be doing, the content, we will get to see in our church bulletin in the coming few months. So pay attention to them and let the church know if, let's say, we are ready to also start the group. Now, 幸福小组 has been recognized as an effective way to share the gospel. But I also want to say that there are other ways that we have been trying, have also been found to be effective. And so, through 幸福小组 or in other ways, I think the shepherd is asking us to go and see and to go 传神. That no matter we do this or we say that we will do that, as long as we say that we're going to do it and we go and 传神. And what Jesus wants is that we can give Him what we can and so that the people need not be sheep without a shepherd. And when we go and see, can I also suggest that we do another thing? That like the disciples, can I ask that we go to Jesus and also ask this shall we question, but with a twist? The disciple blasted at Jesus a negative question. We go to Him with a positive one. We go to Him with a positive shall we. Go and see. See what God has given us that we can give back to Him. And then we pray to Him something like this, that Lord, You have blessed us with such and such giftings and skills. Shall we use it in such and such a manner for Your kingdom? We have among us here people who can form a gospel band, fully capable, and can do it and can execute songs with rather high standard. We have people here that are trained to counsel people. We have people here who can volunteer our time in quite many areas in church and in the society because we have a lot of professionals here. And so if you are ready to go to Jesus with such prayer, then may I come back to the original question at the beginning of my sharing. Does this story has a special message for us to share to God, to share to people in times like this? DOSCON Orange. I'll be honest with us, the answer is no. I don't think so. I don't think that there's any special message. The message has been one and the same. And that is this, that people needs the Lord. Like the 5,000 on the shore, Jesus was willing to go to them. And when we read the story, we find that He also took alongside Him His disciples to become His hands and legs so that the love that He wanted to pass on he has them. Now, to say things like this in light of the current situation may seem a bit out of place. To say that we go and see, and then we ask Jesus, shall we? And then we go out to meet and to share God's love. To say things like this may be a bit out of place at this time. These few weeks might really not be the time for us to start reaching out to others. Maybe that's really the case. But for some of us, this might just be a time that God wants us to go and show love to people that he has placed near and around us. Of course, we will do it responsibly, with prudence, and by faith. But in any case, it is a good time for us to go and see, to take stock of what God has endowed us with. And especially since we are entering soon into the season of Lent, where Christians focus on praying and seeking God. It's a good time for us to go and see, and then go and ask God, shall we? And hear, listen to him, and see what he wants us to do next. A positive shall we question. Friends, will we? Will we give of ourselves to Jesus? And we do that so that we can pave the way for him to give himself to them. Let's pray. O Lord, we come to you as human. Human who are fearful. Human who read possibility and act based on possibilities. Human who from time to time can't see it your way. But still, Lord, you bid us to go and see. Go and see what you have already placed in our hands. And then with what we have, Lord, may your spirit so move that we will come to you and ask, shall we? Shall we be your light? Shall we be your messenger? Shall we be your tool, your instrument of love and peace? This morning, Lord, we continue to ask that your spirit moves among us. For us who are living in these kanjong times, we are torn in between. We are really torn apart. On one hand, we know that we need to keep safe. We have responsibility towards our parents, our families, our colleagues, our church, to keep them safe. But on the other hand, Lord, your bidding to us does not change. So, Lord, we come before you and ask for wisdom. We ask, O Lord, that you lead and guide us. But I ask first and foremost for this morning, that your spirit will lead us unto you, to you, and so moved us that we are willing to just first open our hearts to you and ask, shall we? Shall we? Shall we be the small light for the big light? To give our life unto you as a pleasing sacrifice. All that I am.
All that I